Hey everybody, welcome to episode 51 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In today's episode, Katie and I interview Dr. Letitia Williams, who is a physical therapist specializing in performance and helping active people stay active. In this episode, we talk to Dr. Letitia about working out safely while you're injured, and also how to prevent common injuries in the gym. All right, let's get on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Well, Letitia, it's awesome to have you on the podcast. I'm really excited to talk about the topic of training safe while being injured. We did a podcast a couple months ago about this topic, but we realized, you know, as personal trainers, we don't really know a lot about this and or really have the authority to talk through it. So we're really excited to kind of retouch on this topic with someone that's going to be able to bring their expertise into it.
Awesome.
So let's just start off with, can you tell us about your path on becoming a physical therapist?
Okay. Well, I think a lot of it began with when I was about 9 years old or so in the fourth grade, my grandmother, she had two brain aneurysms. They literally found her in her apartment. She didn't show up for work, and she was always on time. And us being the oldest grandchildren and my mom being the oldest, we got to see her progression from literally hospital, not knowing if she was going to make it, to rehab, to back home. So that was my first experience with physical therapy and knowing even what physical therapy was. Then progressing on to always being a lifetime athlete, played basketball and track, and I went to school on a basketball scholarship. So I always had something that I was in a training room for or being injured. So that kind of further delved me into trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I like interacting with people. It brought in a different environment where I wasn't just sitting around all the time. So I was still able to interact and help people get to see where they started and then bring them to, you know, an ending point of being able to return back to normal activity. So that led me into PT school at Marquette University, and then I came back here to Indianapolis and worked, and then just recently this year, finally after working many years for other people and not liking how I had to treat so many people and kind of get people in and out, and yeah, I didn't really feel like I was able to give quality care when I have three people there at the same time. So I opened up my own practice earlier this year, Holy Lifestyles Rehab and Wellness. So the Holy stands for Healthy Optimal Living You Deserve. So specialize in people that want to begin to be active or continue to stay active, and they don't want to rely on pain medications, injections, or going to the doctor all the time for everything. So that's kind of my journey in a nutshell.
That is awesome. Now, I know our listeners are going to have this question. Can you clarify your difference from a chiropractor? Because you hear people say a lot, oh, I'm going to go to a chiropractor to fix my neck or my back. And what's your opinion on that?
I think there's definitely a lot of, you know, obviously we're two different professions. The main difference that the chiropractic profession does is that they advertise and they ingrained in school how to market to people. So that's why the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, I have a back injury, I'm going to go to the chiropractor and get adjusted. So we have different skill sets, and obviously we're both trying to help people decrease pain and move better, but a lot of times with physical therapy, we'll have different hands-on corrective techniques and then follow through with actually structured exercise and return to sport and return to play. So a lot of times people think of chiropractors that I go in and get adjustments and I go out. So we kind of do it farther, a step further, and that's what I want to do in my own practice as well, is kind of be that in between, because I have a little bit of combination of rehab and strength and conditioning. So traditional physical therapy practices, they'll get you to a point where, hey, you can walk up the stairs, but guess what? I still can't go out and run 3 and 5 miles, or I still can't go to the gym the way I want it. So there's limitations.
Yeah.
So I like to bridge the gap there with services I provide.
That's what I wanted to ask you next, was what your most common patient is struggling with right now.
A lot of times I see people that, hey, they're just an individual that they may work full-time at a sitting desk job and they go to CrossFit at, you know, after work. But guess what? You've been sitting all day in a bent-over position. Your body's not ready to move. So you go from sitting all day, hunched forward on the computer, to doing box jumps, you know, deadlifts. So a lot of times it's just something that people have nagging things going on and they just kind of continue to push it off and off until it gets to the point where they can't do anything. So obviously I want people to come in before they get to the point where they're in such, you know, amount of pain that they can't do the activity. But a lot of people like myself that's active, they know sometimes they go to the doctor, the first thing they're going to tell them to do is stop doing it. So I tell people I'm always a proponent of continuing your activity and movement. You know, movement is medicine. So I always give modifications for people to continue to do what they love to do, but it's going to be in a safer way. So I see a lot of knee pain, shin splints, shoulder pain from individuals that are that could be CrossFitters or throwing athletes, a lot of runners, because I'm a runner myself. So right now a lot of my population are, you know, active individuals that just want to keep moving because that's part of, you know, who they are.
I love that you say exercise is medicine, because that is huge. And I see that with patients that I see all the time. It's always they're limited. And that's so true. And it drives me nuts, because I wish that we could integrate the two more in the healthcare system. Yep. We need to prescribe exercise, and physical therapy, I think, needs to be, it should be in so many more places that it's not. I think there needs to be more of a referral process, but that's a whole nother.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole. United States is more of a reactive instead of a proactive when it comes to, you know, everyone comes, you know, you go to the doctor when you're sick, or they think physical therapy is just for someone who just had right after surgery, or they think about someone who's just learning to walk again. So there's a big divide in just an educational thing that, yes, we are movement specialists, we're a prevention, exercise, sports performance, there's so many variety of things with our skill set that we want people to more know that we can help in a lot more places than just from a traditional, you know, injury or surgery.
Yeah, and I almost think people think that they think a personal trainer has the knowledge of a physical therapist. You know, they go to their personal trainer for the questions that they should be going to a physical therapist for.
Yeah, because there's definitely very knowledgeable, you know, personal trainers. But yes, the fact as far as, you know, injury prescription, and they said, then yeah, that's just not the, you know, not the skill set.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing training with a lot of people over the years. Because when I first started out, I did about 10 years ago, I did a lot with one-on-one personal training, and then kind of bridging some of the knowledge that I have so that I can even work with special population, people that have arthritis, people that have diabetes, that if you sometimes go to a traditional personal trainer, they may not know what's the safest thing to do if somebody has, you know, knee pain, or someone's had a history of a hip replacement, or, you know, things like that, where there's a big hole that people fall into after they're done with their rehab. Then what do you do as far as maintenance and making sure you have the quality of life that you want?
That's huge. What tips do you have for training safely with injuries? Let's say someone does have that knee pain or that shoulder pain.
Yeah, I think the main thing that gets people in trouble is that, one, they start doing something that they haven't been doing, so that they haven't trained for, and then they progress too quickly in that activity, and then that's where the issues come as far as knee pain. So definitely having an adequate warm-up and knowing that, hey, you may have to do something a little bit different than the other individual if you have knee pain. Your warm-up may have to be, you're going to have to really warm up your hips, ankles, knees, be it some mini squats or lunges within your pain-free range, compared to someone else that, hey, they don't have, they're pain-free. They do the normal general warm-up, and they're good to go. So it may just take a little bit longer to make sure you're prepping for the activity that you're doing.
So at what point would you want to see an individual who started exercise, you know, from going from months of not exercising, and then they started a new program, and they were doing well at first, but now they have some pain in, you know, in their shoulder, their knee, a common place. What would you tell them on go see a physical therapist right away? What would your recommendation be for them so they can try to stay active?
There's three things that I normally look at to say if someone's been having a nagging pain. Was it a sudden incident? Did all of a sudden, as soon as you did the activity, was it a sudden pain? Were you not able to put any weight through? Say it was a, you know, knee or ankle right after the injury or the occurrence, were you able to put weight through? And if it doesn't resolve with the RICE method. So those three things would be red flags for me to say, guess what? This is not something that's just going to resolve by itself. Or if I give it more time, it's not going to, you know, this is not going to change. So that would be my recommendation, would be getting in to see a physical therapist if you have any of those occurrences. If it's been longer than a week that you've been having the same issue, or it's been off and on for months and it keeps coming back, then those are also signs that you need to get another set of eyes to take a look at it. Because you may not be knowing that you could now be furthering the injury along. Now it's going to take a lot longer for you to get back to 100%.
Can you explain to our listeners, refresh their memory, what exactly the RICE method is and when exactly you should use that?
Okay, RICE stands for rest, ice, compression, and elevation. So you typically use that upon immediate injury. So as soon as you step down wrong and twist your ankle, then you would immediately use the RICE method. So you always, for an acute injury, sudden injury, it's most likely always going to be an ice intervention. It's not going to be heat, because that's essentially adding fuel to the fire. You're going in the opposite direction. If you want to add more inflammation, put some heat on there. as soon as you injure yourself, you want to make it worse, you put heat on it, which you don't want at all. So you want to initially do all of those things upon immediate injury. Something that's been going on 2 and 3 weeks or even months, you at that point, it's more chronic. So you can go with ice or heat at that point in the injury. A lot of times, I see that a lot of times with individuals that are runners. Say they've been running and on their long run, they're good for 3 miles or good for five, but when they get to 10 miles, then they notice at mile 8, a shin splint or something pops up. Then it goes away. Then only when you get up to a certain distance do they recognize that it's there. That's something that's more common and something that we can always address with the video running analysis to see what's going on with the running pattern. Is there some weakness or something above and below where the injury is now that's causing now a breakdown in their mechanics?
Now, this might be hard for you to answer, but how many weeks of physical therapy does someone have to go through to get one of these kind of common nagging pains, shin splints or?
Yeah, well, yeah, that is a difficult one. Obviously, it's a case-by-case thing, but typically, depends on what stage they are. People are probably used to hearing, you know, if they went to the doctor and they said, go to physical therapy, and they said, oh, go 3 times a week for 6 weeks, or, you know, a frequency like that. I normally don't do that high of a frequency because a lot of people that I work with, since I get to see them for a full hour one-on-one, then it decreases the amount of visits that we have to go through. So I make sure people have good home exercise plans and do a video home exercise plan. So I typically only see them maybe once a week during that time. So I see people generally between 6 to 9 sessions, depending on what's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense. We've kind of talked about some of the common injuries, but what are the top common injuries and are they preventable? So one that comes to mind for me is you always hear people having low back pain. Like that just seems almost more common than not in today's society. Is there something that we can attribute that to? And what tips do you have for that person?
Yeah, low back pain, I mean, it's really debilitating. You know, there's so many percentage of people that lose hours of work due to low back pain, or just, you know, go into a depressive state because they're not able to be as active with their kids, with their loved ones. It really just takes, when your back is hurt, you can't think of anything else. It's just like your back, you're so focused on it. So I think a lot of the back pain issues are not even necessarily age-related. Those are really based on now the sedentary jobs that we have now, where you're just sitting, hunched forward over a computer. Our posture gets off, the position of our hips, you get hip tightness, low back, that means that your quality of movement is decreased. So I've heard people say, hey, all I did was bend down to pick up that pencil and my back went out. Well, guess what? There were a series of things that occurred prior to you bending down to pick that pencil up that resulted in low back pain. So I always tell people, if you have a sitting job, get up at least once every hour. You have to, even if it's just walking to the bathroom, getting some water, get up once every hour and make sure before you do your activity or something active, make sure that you get a proper warm up in. A lot of low back pain issues turn into chronic things because people just don't know what to do. or they're so afraid that they're going to go to the doctor and say, guess what, you're going to for back surgery. And, you know, no one wants to hear anything about going for back surgery, because really the outcomes for back surgery are really not good. Go through all of that and just to maybe get 50% better, which now there's studies that have come out that says that a course of physical therapy is as effective, greater effectiveness than surgery. So if you think about that, just how much time, dollars, and resource and aches and pains you can really decrease compared to going under the knife for a surgical procedure.
Yeah, that sounds so compelling to do physical therapy instead, because you're just strictly not even going under the knife. I mean, that's worth it.
Yeah, I've seen back surgeries, and some of the outcomes are not good at all. Just thinking about it, you go through all of that to maybe get a little bit, and then they sometimes can't pinpoint where the pain or the origin is coming from. They just kind of go in and cut and say, all right, it's around this area, and we're hoping that this is the fix.
Wow.
But it's all in their recovery, how you're able to strengthen, how you're able to maintain your mobility, and then you go back to a sitting job. You sit at work, you sit in the car, people commute across town. You know, a lot of it has to do with basically how our bodies are conditioned to do nothing.
Yeah.
All day long, 8-9 hours.
Yeah. I would love to see everyone get up from their desks every hour, because we know that you can't focus on whatever it is you're doing for even that long. So you're taking a mental break regardless if you're actually getting up. So you might as well get up and like circle your desk cube for 60 seconds and then sit back down. Minimum.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the standing desks? Is that something that people should look into?
I love the idea of the standing desk. Yeah, because it definitely gives you, obviously, now you have to be on your feet during the day and you're out of those postures. And just like you were saying, even a mental break to get out of the space of that computer screen and the glowing light of the screen to kind of step away from things, you know, get out of zombie mode with, you know, your daily activities. But yeah, I'm definitely a proponent of the standing desk. And I also like the stability ball chairs too.
Oh yeah. And then nowadays there's the treadmill desks, which those are hard. You really have to have some. A lot of people are on conference calls all day. So if you're on a conference call, you could do the treadmill.
That'd be a great option. Yeah, that'd be nice to put the money into getting some more of those.
Yeah.
That would be able to save on some health care costs and health insurance plans if you've got some of the standing desks and the standing treadmill and the treadmill desk.
So what's one thing you wish everyone knew that would help them prevent injuries in the gym?
That's a good question. That kind of goes back to what I initially said, was that don't let pain stop you from being as active as you want to be. There's still things that you can do to still get moving and still get the benefits of increasing your health and wellness. So always say, especially if you're beginning, just returning back from a layoff from exercise, you just had a baby, you're just transitioning into a new job, and you've gotten overworked, and you said, guess what, I haven't been in the gym in XYZ months because of life. Everybody knows life gets in the way. I just tell people that make sure that if you don't have the direction or knowledge for the gym, go to a qualified person that does have that. Make sure you obviously, number one, get your fitness assessment, make sure you're cleared to do everything that you can, and go to a qualified person to get a structured plan on how to be safe in the gym, and do not progress too quickly, and always get an adequate warm up and cool down. That's a aspect that I skimp out on myself too, because I ran out of time, so you kind of cut some corners. But now at 35 plus years of age, your body will tell you that you cannot skimp and cut corners like you used to when you're 18, which, oh, I just get up and, 3 hours of sleep, I'll just get up and do this and that, and you're good to go. No cool down, you just pop and do. Now you have to be a little bit smarter in how you take care of your body, because you only have one body, and you want that to withstand and do things for many, many years.
Are there any certain tools or things that you would recommend for people to use to help with injury? Like, for example, foam rollers, or, you see all those different fitness gadgets out there. Are there certain things that you encourage, like, your clients to invest in?
definitely a proponent of foam rolling, just for increasing your soft tissue mobility and being able to sometimes use it as a warm-up tool as well. Not necessarily treat the injury, because everybody thinks, oh, I got a pain, XYZ, I'm just going to foam roll it to death. And sometimes that can do the opposite, and it will cause the muscle to actually tense up, and it increases more pain and more tension to the area than it's doing more harm than help. So you don't have to have a tear running down your eye to know that the foam roller is working. So my number one would be foam roll and making sure you get a good static stretch post-exercise as far as tools. I like the Theracane to kind of work on soft tissue. The Theracane is kind of like a big hook that has these attachments that stick out of it. Mm-hmm. And I use a lot of times for my shoulders and upper traps. I know as women, we hold a lot of tension here, so mine gets super tight. Mm-hmm. So as far as things to help with de-stressing, because when everything tenses up, then you're more likely to have, you know, not to be moving as effectively, and it can cause more pain. And so things as far as Theracane and foam roll, those are the two main things that I give to my patients and clients. And I love the lacrosse ball.
Yeah. What do you think about the kinesiology tape?
Yeah, I like KG tape. I actually just had an event. I was at a CrossFit Invitational. So I was actually there stretching and kinesio taping some of the athletes. So I had a lot of blue and black tape on people in their Halloween costumes as they were going through the invitational. So I do use that as a tool. I mean, obviously it's not a magic cure. Mm-hmm. So it's not just pop the tape on there. Oh, guess what? I'm pain free. I can do everything. I use it, especially if someone is very irritated, then it's worth a try. You know, so I'll go ahead and tape them and say, hey, this won't stop you from movement, but sometimes it can help decrease some of the pain and irritation to the area. So I use K2 tape, and I use functional cupping therapy as well with some of my runners and some of my active people.
Can you tell our listeners what the benefits of cupping are?
Well, it's a very old ancient tradition. A lot of times you think about the foam roll. We're on top of the foam roll, say, for like IT band, because normally a lot of people mash on their IT band that way. Basically, you're putting pressure and you're smashing everything down and then rolling over it. Cupping essentially does the opposite. It helps lift up the skin from kind of your thin fascial layer, so that helps increase your blood flow and circulation to the area that may have an injury, or, you know, say you have an area that's really tight or a pain point or a trigger point. It's a tool to help with increasing blood flow to the area. More oxygen, more blood flow, that means increasing your healing. It's going to trigger the healing phases to expedite the process a little bit. So that's why you see some of those little blood, like bruises on people. Kind of the darker the bruises are, there may be an area that was more effective with an injury than the other.
Speaking of bruising, I had a gal in one of my classes at the gym the other week, and we were foam rolling, and she heard foam rolling got rid of cellulite, so she foam rolled so hard she had bruises all over.
Oh my.
Oh my gosh.
Please throw that out of
that takes work.
That's extreme.
That is some intense foam rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Yes, I hate cellulite too, but I don't know if I need to have bruises.
Yeah, and I think everyone would own a foam roller if it was actually effective in treating cellulite.
Exactly. You would see foam rolls everywhere. Just like those, you know, electronic magnet that you will strap around your stomach and you get abs. You know, just, all I have to do is lay at the beach and sip my drink and I'm getting abs of steel. You know, clearly, if it was that easy, that you'd be quadrillionaire.
Yeah.
If that, you know, to get you a six pack. So be wary of little trinkets and things that come out that, you know, say instant, or, you know, if it looks too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true.
Yeah. I think it is good to know different tools and having an expert opinion like yourself for things like that, because there's just so many products and gadgets out there. It's like, what's mm-hmm. actually worth your money? What's going to make a difference? Going back to pain, right? Let's say someone does have an injury. What would you tell someone? What's kind of the limit that you should push it? Some people say, oh, I can't do anything because I've got this shoulder bothering me. Or like, what's the threshold? What's the line?
Yeah. I always tell people a couple of things. When you're doing the activity, does it cause sharp pain? And next is, does it reproduce your current symptoms? You know, does it feel like it did when you injured? So if you're reproducing the same symptoms when you sat down wrong, your knee went in and went out awkwardly when you're doing the activity, that means then you shouldn't do it. Find a modification. You can always go and, you know, say it's knee pain and you're trying to do a gazillion squats that day. Well, no, you don't need to do a gazillion squats that day. You can change it. Maybe you need to do step-ups on that day. Everybody's doing lunges. Maybe you need to do another modification to that. So if it's a sharp pain and it reproduces the same pain you did initially, then those are the things when you know you need to back off.
Okay, that makes sense. Last question that we have for you, what's your personal fitness goal that you're working towards right now?
I actually have a couple. I've run 3 half marathons, so I'm training for my 4th right now. I have to get motivated. I haven't committed the dollars to it yet, so I have to get committed to it. The Caribbean Half Marathon in December. I'm going to be doing the Santa Hustle 5K the weekend before, but that's going to be more fun. I've done that a couple years. But my biggest one for 2018 is becoming a triathlete. So that's going to, and that means I have to return to the pool and get some remedial swim lessons. I can swim to save my life, but not to swim laps and combine
me
with 2 other sports
yeah.
at the same time. So that's my goal for next year coming up is this winter I'll be hitting the pool and getting some lessons and starting to plan to do a sprint triathlon next year.
Excellent. That is awesome. So do you feel comfortable running and biking?
Yeah, I bought a tri bike earlier this summer. So I was like, you know, I haven't ridden a whole lot, but definitely the weakest point would definitely be the swimming part, which a lot of people say that as well. I mean, I haven't been a long distance runner for that long, but I've always been a runner. I was always just a sprinter in high school and college. So long distance running is newer for me within the last 5 years, but it still gives me that nice challenge and I enjoy doing it. And I still run with arthritis too. So that's another little tip that I've had 2 knee surgeries on my right knee. So I run with some type of ache, pain, or something going on. So I know where people are coming from when they have different things going on. But sometimes, you know, you have to push through because it's something that you enjoy doing and you want to stay active and healthy.
That's awesome. Isn't it amazing? I always feel this way, how I feel like I could run forever sometimes, but when you get in a pool, it's just such a different cardiovascular challenge.
Yes, definitely. It's like, I think that it's the breathing part that kind of gets me. I'm like, I always get caught up and I'm like either holding my breath at the wrong time or taking a breath and it's like, okay, I have to stop. I'm drowning.
It's crazy. You can be in a pool for like 20 minutes and you're exhausted as if you ran a half marathon.
Yeah. Probably the breathing, you're right.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, it was so good to chat with you. I'm sure our listeners are going to have some great takeaways. We don't talk about this topic enough on how to prevent injury. I know a lot of personal trainers don't really want to talk about injuries because it's a hard topic. So I'm really glad that we got to talk to you today. If any of our listeners want to contact you, whether that's email or social media, where can they find you?
Okay. You can find me on my website at drleticiapt.com. I'm also on Instagram. I have 2 Instagram accounts. One is Dr. Leticia PT and the other is the Knee PT. So I share a lot of different topics on pertaining to the knee, runners, anybody who wants to be active as well. And you can find me on Facebook as well. Same name, Dr. Leticia PT. And also I have a Facebook community called Move, Feel, and Perform Better. So that's a community where active individuals want to go and share questions, tidbits. I get in there and communicate that way if you would like to join the Move, Feel, and Perform Better community. And I have a free takeaway for those that might be suffering from knee pain and they want to find some exercise that can help with relieving knee pain outside of before trying to see a licensed physical therapist as myself. So you can find that at drleticiapt.com/5bestkneepainexercises. So it's the number 5 and then best knee pain exercises.
Excellent. That's going to be great. Anyone that's listening that has any sort of knee pain, they're going to be, I'm sure, be all over that.
All right, well, thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Find us on Instagram and find Dr. Letitia on Instagram.
Thanks so much and have a great night.
All right, see you. Bye-bye. Bye.